Hi there. I'm Daan Hoogland. I'm working at Shea Blue since a couple of months. We had a lot of arguments about titles, so don't bother about those. If you want to take pictures, fine, but there's a link there where you can find the slides as well. Let me see. That Google Plus handle is also my Twitter handle, but I rarely use either. I am a very old-fashioned guy. Notice how I put fashioned in there? Let me see. So I'm gonna be talking about the contents first. Next, but first about what we're talking about. This is not my favorite subject. Some people like software, some people don't. The people that don't software, they're the kind of people that just want it to work. I like software, but I don't like CI. I just want it to work. What I want to do is look at code, and it's not that I like code that is broken, but I'd like to add to code, and if it's broken, yeah, well, that's the kind of thing you add. And I just want the CI to check whether I am fixing it the right way. I actually do not want to be concerned with it. So that's a bit background. I'm going to talk about what we have now in terms of CI. I'm going to have a little talk about what we intend to have in terms of CI. And maybe depending on the kind of input questions from you guys, I'll look at some things, some demos. And I see some guys from Accelerite in the room, so I'm gonna ask them questions about their CI, because it's really a black box to me. They're not listening, sorry. Hi, Nathan. Welcome. I was just explaining the rest of the people that I'm going to ask you questions about CloudMonger and BVT and all those things that the rest of the community doesn't understand or know about. So the contents, the you and the me is in the wrong order. That's faking being polite. I'm going to first talk about me, then about my employer, and then when that's all out of the way. As I said, I'm going to talk about what we have now, a small overview. What's my goal? And I share this goal with some people, but you know, the input is welcome, and it's not there yet, so it might change along the way. We're always targeting moving targets in this business, and this is one of them. So, and then finally, I'm going to talk about the grand CI achievement of my company, which is largely done before I joined, but I'll be explaining and showing some things behind the scene if people are interested at the end of the talk. I noticed there's some colleagues in here, so I must be careful about which part I actually show. I am a very old guy, that's how you can see here. My daughter is just about to finish her second master. My son is actually only starting to study, but that's because he is a lazy guy, unlike my daughter. So maybe I should just skip all this if there's questions. Oh, one more interesting thing. So the logo's there. I'm now at Shea Blue. I have a history in the community as part of the Sugar Phyllis cloud team. I left them, has something to do with them leaving the community. It's not like a breakup or a bad divorce or something, but it has something to do with it. I joined LeaseWeb and I stayed there for half a year, and then I slowly diminished working in the community and started working again at Schubert, but on totally different things, nothing related with infrastructure. So far about me. Until, of course, in February I came to Shea Blue. So about you. Okay, I want to know who's been working with cloud platform or cloud stack more than 5 years. That's not a lot. Okay, as user or as a developer? I want to know who of you are cloud stack users. So that's not a lot. Is Nuage? Nuage is there. SolidFire? No SolidFire. Any vendors in the room other than Nuage and SolidFire? Okay. So now is the obligatory slides about the company. I noticed some big shots walking in, so I have to skip them a little slower than I intended.
I'll just skip.
These are our customers. So there we are. Contents, actually this is another content slide, it's not interesting. So I'm going to start with what's the end game, and I'm going to end with Trillion and Blue Orangutan. I will mention, by the way, CloudMonger, but as I know so little of it, I'll mostly be talking and looking at the Accelerite people in the room to stand up and shout out. So this is a statement that we came up with. Basically, Giles came up with it mostly, and then I edited it somewhat. I'm just going to read it out loud because there's nothing much to add to it. So the goal of our community is to create a matrix of what's compatible with CloudStack and what not, and in what combination. And it must be easily to see for users in what environment they can run a CloudStack. That's what I want to achieve with a CI environment, a distributed CI environment, and a reporting mechanism behind it. And the reason is there we have so many people working in so many different environments, hardware, software, to test everything. This is not how I would put it. It's impossible. That's how I would put it. But okay. So that's where we're in this room. Now we need to get a compatibility matrix, and we're already slowly getting there with the way that CloudMonger or Blue Orangutan reports things. But it's not easy enough to read. It's very hard to read. A little improvement is how Travis and Jenkins are working now, but we need to change all the other reporting to be more concise. And then also, we don't need to have a per PR basis of reporting the complete matrix. We need to be smart at what is reported when. But what is important is that we show people that something is broken, that something is not compatible, or that something is really good. And of course, we need to see, we need to be able to do that for merging, but we also need to be able to do that for the final release candidate, so that we have on the way a view of where we're going. And in the end, before releasing, we have a complete overview of, okay, now we're going to release this, and this is going to work in these environments. Hopefully, not less, but a little more than we had the last release. So overlay of matrices would be useful as well. Of course, this is multi-dimensional. So far, the root dimensions are hypervisor type, networking, storage, and there might be some, but those are the most important ones. Now this is a
This is the clear picture that I want to show to everyone at the moment I make a release candidate. I have no idea yet how to get here, but it's. I think if someone wants to add to this, I think it's the best thing we can show to users. In the end, we have, of course, the tests that we want to use as a developer, but in the final release, we want to be able to easily show to users, here, decide what you're going to run on using this. I see clearly that you don't want any run in a Shapeloo 1 kind of environment, and you might want to really consider whether you want to run. Oh, these are both VMware. Uh-huh. I'm kind of biased, sorry. But this is just a thing.
Okay. Now I want to stress to any developer this. The Git PR script, make sure that you don't do it, but please do not test a VR branch ever. Test it always against the branch you want to merge it in. Test it merged. A basic CI principle that should be readily available to anyone. I'm not sure how we're going to enforce that. Sorry.
Are you saying that you wouldn't be testing PRs, you'd be merging stuff and then testing?
I want to test merged PRs without pushing back the merged result. It's basically what Git PR does right now.
You want to give the status of what is merged, but you're not saying that you wouldn't be testing PRs. It just wouldn't be included in the matrix. You still have to test the PR to know whether or not.
Yes. I do not want to test the PR branch. I want to merge the branch, test the result, and after that, decide whether I want to push back the merge to.
Because maybe the PR is scripted
for master,
or.
There's a lot of reasons why you wouldn't want to do that. For instance, the PR is all old, and things have been merged in between that are incompatible with your change.
It hasn't been rebased recently.
Yeah.
When you say you're testing, you're basically, when you test the PR, you're testing a merge of the PR with the master or whatever branch, and then that is tested. You're not merging it and then testing. You are merging it and then testing, but you're not merging it upstream.
You're not pushing. You're merging. You test the merge. You're not pushing, but you report on the merged branch to.
Yeah.
To have a clear picture.
Bubble
does that, and the script that is in the tools directory, Git PR, is a tool to do that. It does it for you. It pulls the branch that you have defined to in your PR, and then it pulls your PR branch, and then merges, and then it starts testing. But of course, you need to make sure not everybody uses that Git PR tool. And hardly anybody in the community nowadays uses the bubble. I'm not sure. Do you guys still use it?
We're trying to move to Trillium.
But you're still using it.
We use bubble periodically, but not as a standard. Right?
My data center has a bubble on it, but my VPN is to a Trillium environment, and I. Well, for development, as I joined Shapeloo, I am using Trillium mostly exclusively, but because it's a portable data center is never that strong. You had a question, but it's probably answered, right?
Yeah, so I'm saying confusion.
Yeah. Okay. The tools at the moment, DevCloud 4, I'm not sure if anybody still uses it other than Rohit. I know he does, but DevCloud 4, actually there was a DevCloud and there was a DevCloud 2 and then there was a DevCloud 4, which is the current version. And oh, now I can't ask any questions to Accelerite people anymore. That's too bad. So DevCloud 4, it's still around. Is anybody using it? Nobody does?
Not okay. Testing. I use it periodically for validation.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Mainly for simplification of deployment.
Right. Okay. Yeah, well, I use a, on my portable data center, I have a bubble. So for those kind of things, I use that. I like the bubble because it's based on KVM. And hence, you can use it on your laptop. And but on the other hand, it uses Chef, and I hate it. So that I like Trillion on that field, but Trillion runs on VMware, so, and I hate that. And of course,
something that we're looking to
yeah.
Support KVM with Trillion. That's something that we're looking to do internally. So
yeah.
Hopefully, that's something.
Yeah, but your PRs to Trillion are being ignored. Sorry about that.
That's true.
No.
We haven't touched the PRs that we have against Trillion right now. Don't touch that.
They're made
generalized improvements so that you don't have to be a Shapeloo employee to use Trillion.
Yeah.
That's the ones we have right now.
I'm looking forward to do some work in this, not because I like CI so much, as I explained, but...
I have some ideas on the matrix stuff as well, which we should probably discuss, because there's... I have some ideas that I think probably...
We will. So, it's Trillion uses Ansible, and it's much more flexible, easy... much harder to make mistakes, but much easier to make hard mistakes. So maybe, but it's a really a programmer's environment, much more than Chef is. So I prefer it. Well, we moved to Gitbox, as it was explained. Now we can do all sorts of things, and the most important thing I think is is that we do the reporting on the status inside the status box.
We have support for that now. I haven't tested.
You haven't tested, okay. But we have had a okay by Daniel Bruno that if we don't have it, then we should just file a ticket because we should have it.
The
intent is that we have it.
Yeah, Upper was built to be able to use the status, but we never could use it, so I had to use thing.
Yeah.
So I have code built with Upper to be able to push statuses so I can test.
The main reason I want that is because the bots are now reporting large comments and they should be in the details of the status and not in the comments. They should not pollute any conversation between developers. They're bots, they shouldn't meddle.
Yeah.
It's kind of spam. So Upper is there. And of course, the bots, right? I am not entirely sure, and we need to talk about that. What the future of Upper is? So, if you have your own environment, how we can easily make it easily usable for people setting up their own CI with their own hardware and their own software to report back in Upper. But Upper is very useful. So we'll keep working on that. Okay, now we're going to talk about a lot of reporting. I think it's going to be ongoing work to simplify it, because this matrix we show is what really the dimensions that you want to show a user. Maybe make it clickable so that he has some interest in a hypervisor and then get only the matrix for that hypervisor. So it would be nice, but I'm not sure I have the bandwidth to implement such a web app or such a thing. Maybe it should be just a HTML5 thing. But keeping it small for a user to decide you know, click VMware, I'm going to use VMware. Okay, there's more red in here than I expected, but there's some environments and I can afford that, so to click there and then see what else I need. Some kind of thing like that would be very useful. But at least per view, keep it small. Because I, this is, of course, you know about the 7-point, 3-point rule. If you're a manager, you want to see 3 points and no more. If you're a developer, you want to see 7 and no more, unless you're a really tough guy and then you can handle 12 at the most. That applies to such a compatibility matrix as well. Let me see, can I add something to this? No, let's go on. So, Trillion. Here's the philosophies behind it. It's a kind of parallel development with the Bottle. The philosophy is more from a consultancy point of view, where you can have, you know, you can test your problems with your clients. While the Bubble was really created by Schubert-Phillips for Schubert-Phillips and asking for input, do you want to have any extensions? So the driver to make it generic was slower, was lower, but the driver to make it really test intensively was kind of the same. Of course, the top point wasn't in there, but it's in here. The top 2 points. Let me see if I can lift out one. Separation of code and configuration. So it's more than a test tool, it's also an experimental tool. But of course, as a developer, you always hack your CI environment to do the more specific things that you want, that you envision that you want in the future. I think the rest of it is kind of obvious. So what it is a Ansible-based environment builder. As a community, you don't see it because it's hidden behind Blue Orangutan, but what it does is it starts a environment that has a management server and a by you specified number of specified type of hosts. It builds it on a CloudSec environment. The base at JBlue, I'm always calling it sure. The base at JBlue is VMware. But we're looking to change that because on your portable data center, I told you, you have a single Linux and you want to run KVM almost definitely. It also supports multiple hypervisors in the sense that it creates the environment but not entirely configures it. So there is a primary hypervisor and I have not been able to really create two zones with two different hypervisors yet. But we'll get there. And of course advanced and basic zones are there. And it's on the internet. It's called github.com/JBlue/Trillion. I forgot to put the link in. I'm stupid. So go have a look, experiment, install it, and report problems to JBlue or just on the mailing list. You're welcome. So it's hidden, right? You don't see our Trillion environment. I'm not sure if that's a good thing, actually, but it works very well. We need this because we need to have control over how our resources are used. It might be we might reconsider how the interface is addressed and whether some things do go automatically, or but at a certain point we decided not to give free access to everybody. And free access means the ability to give Blue Orangutan commands to the environment to spin up something for a certain PR. So at the moment you have to address something from someone from SheBlue to test a certain thing. And at the moment I don't think we want to change that, in the sense that if others install a Trillion environment, like Mike for SolidFire, or like you guys in your environment, or that you want to share the access to, you want to have some control over whether and how your resources are being used. On the other hand, we want to also make sure that the compatibility matrix is complete. So there also is something we need to look at. How are we going to do that? And whether we're going to do it, actually. So Blue Orangutan has, I'm not sure if it allows the help command, but it has for others, I mean, but it has a set of parameters to start environments with different, to first package distributions for certain environments. You can then test it, and you can, the easiest way for the release candidates is just say test matrix. And it will do a matrix test of all the things that it can do, and it will report a whole lot of crap. So the comment that comes back from that is all smoke tests for, I think, about 5 to 8 different environments, which is more than you want to have to read through. What I use it a lot for is to do the package and then have an environment spun up behind the scenes within our VPN, just go to Jenkins, make it, and then do an upgrade to that package to see things. And then do I can use the yum install, I think yum reinstall is the command, and I can just change the packet and reinstall it, and it will upgrade the same environment. So that's very useful for testing. If you use Blue Orangutan for actually doing the test, it's also destroying the environment again. So for us as developers, that's not very useful. But for people that want to just test and want to just have reports about compatibility, it's very useful. There's a lot of links here that you cannot read at the moment, but please have a look. The actual BO, I don't have access. I'm not sure if I can share that, but I'll ask Rohit if he can make it public. The other ones are the ones that spawns the tests and that reports back on the tests. So there you see how we make our report, and this is kind of the competitor of Upper, I think. No, Upper only uploads files as they're being saved locally, does it? Upper doesn't create the report, right? It just uploads it. Yeah. Or does it actually create the format of the report?
It creates the format of the report, and then it uploads all the collateral files that you would need if you needed to debug one of the tests.
Okay, so it does do this thing as well, yeah.
But I have some ideas on how we could, especially if we go into a distributed model, how we could report back the essentially a compatibility matrix and basically make it easier to consume as a user to understand what's actually happening. So
we need a hackathon.
We can discuss after. We can make sure that we're on the same page.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. So if we keep using Upper, then we need to add it to bots as well, like I am saying here. If we go through with reporting back in this in the status of a PR, then there's several things we need to do. We need to be able to parse the contents of the report and decide on that what the status is going to be. And I'm not sure how fine-grained the statuses are on GitHub, but you want to have more than just red and green. You want to have some orange. And we need to look into that, what whether and what we can do there. If we can't, then of course there's there needs to be a policy about how we handle the red, because some things may not have to be compatible.
We can use I think there's two orange statuses, and so I think that running is one. I think the other is there's a second orange status we could use for if some things are broken and not.
Yeah, but they're different, right? Because the running is kind of beige, brownish.
Yeah.
So they're they're very important. Colors different, that makes it easy for users and easy for.
What I think we need to do is when you have a status, we need to expose via a web something or other that you can click on it and you can get a breakdown of the like a public matrix of the breakdown of the tests, but we can discuss the details around that, because each run has the ability to specify a link against it, and that link then, like for Jenkins or whatever, it gives you a public Jenkins like output, but I would argue that we need to have a centralized web
It could be handled in a file, uploaded details file that is HTML5. If we can program that properly, then you'll just have to open the file and click in there, and the data is all there, but the presentation is more consumable than the full reports as it is now.
Yeah.
Makes sense to everybody what we're. Because we're having a dialogue here, but it makes sense to the rest. Okay. Oh, right, we have the bots. So, what we are talking about here is what Paul Angus, our colleague, dubbed Winston. He has some vision of what Winston can do, and that's where I have my questions about whether we should allow GitHub to consume our resources. Because what Winston is a new bot that would actually decide this needs to be tested in this environment, or if we make it simple, this needs to be tested everywhere, and it has a list of where everywhere is. So it is at SolidFire, it is at Nuage, it is at maybe CloudOps or SheaBlue, or whoever is there to do things as well. So it needs to be able to learn from people what they have. So it needs to be able to learn from people what actual field in the matrix they can fill with their test environment. So definition needs to go in, and then after the tests come in from that environment, it needs to be able to say okay, and then now test in that environment. But that's the step that is debatable. I mean, we can handle I think about 20 PRs concurrently.
20-25
Yeah.
Before we start run out of speed.
Yeah, and that's only because they're never in sync, so they follow each other, and so it's probably a little less, I think. But we need to be very careful, and you need to be careful. You need to be careful, everybody. So there's things to decide in there. Okay, and here's the definition of the environments on the bottom, which ones. I don't think it's exhaustive. there might be others. Actually, there should be, storage networks? Okay, maybe hardware, but I'm not sure if it's.
I support to do basic and advanced separately, but beyond that, you can figure out. Yeah, that's just figure
out. Then we want to get rid of basic and advanced. And there's SDN there, and there's types of SDN. Nuage is going to say, hey, we can test Nuage for you, but it's not there. So this is where we're going. And of course, I was hoping for more new users here that could hear now my drafting talk. But we need this from the community.
Lowest resolution
class. No, I'm like that.
Really
Photoshop. Yeah. No, I didn't give it a second thought. I wanted to have the we need you, but this is better. So, any more questions? I'll probably know who to ask them.
What's really the process to add more tests to smoke? Like, if we have certain VR, certain generic codes with some marking tests, of which some of those will make sense to be added to smoke testing.
It's a PR.
You see that? So you label your test as smoke, and that's being reviewed, and that's it?
No, you just add the test to the smoke directory. And now you have a very, you actually have a very valid point, because where is the number of the tests being run are actually defined by the test environment that runs them. So it is my choice. Sorry, I hear two things. Sorry.
When you added this to the smoke directly, will it be automatic
every time? Depends on the tooling that is being used in the test environment.
Okay. So right now,
if you have a new test and that you want to, you have a bit of code that you want to make sure keeps working, you have a test that ensures that,
right.
So you want ShapeBlue to run that test in their test environment, then you'll have to ask us to edit our configuration for training.
But shouldn't that be
easy? Because in the smoke test directory, we just enumerate everything in there and run it.
Okay.
Okay.
But that's what we do.
Yeah. Okay. In the bubble, it doesn't?
Yeah, okay. I did a whole bunch of PRs against bubble so that you could redefine the tests that you wanted to run. You could specify, you could basically create your own file of tests of what you wanted to run, and then you could define that when you did it. But it was a lot of manual work, and as a release manager, it sucked. Because every time I had every PR, I had to check if there were tests were changed.
Right.
If there were tests changed, then I had to basically create a custom set of what are the tests that are going to be run for this test run, and then basically do a kickoff of bubble defining the test that I, like the test file that I wanted to run. And it was time consuming. It was not the way to do it.
We run automatically all the smoke tests. There's one in there that's very flaky. Lately I see a lot of failures in PRs, so about 5 or 6 that are, I'm not sure if it's caused by a change or whether it's just a flaky setup. We want to integrate the integration tests as well. So we want to extend it to the integration tests, but that's also a matter of how long do you run. The run takes 9 hours? Something like that.
All the smoke tests, if you run them all end to end, take about 8 hours. If you run all the integration tests, it takes about 6 days.
But
2/3 of them, more than half of them don't work.
Yeah, so that's why we don't do that standard. So there's a lot of fixing to do in the tests as well.
Which we went through for the smoke tests before. Last December we went through that process.
Yeah.
Smoke test. I think there are two that relate to the redundant virtual router that fail presents a...
One is the redundant VPC router, and the other one is the private gateway, I think.
Which will be on a...
Which will be on a VPC, but not redundant. It's just also VPC related. And the failure might be redundancy related, by the way. No.
I think it probably is. I know that there are two tests that always fail for VMware and Zen Server consistently across whatever.
Yeah.
Any more?
That's something that needs to be made more transparent, I think. So that's important to vendors, how they can influence the. The tests have been run, either smoke, either integration tests. I guess when your DR holds a set of tests, at least those tests should be run before those that DR gets accepted.
Yeah.
Evidence that they pass. Like that.
One of the things I wanted to do was anytime a PR included something in a test directory, it automatically would make sure that those tests were run.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you made any changes to a test, it would even if it's not automatically part of the normal test run, if you make any changes to the test, it would make sure that those tests are added to the test run. And then go from there. Like at least that way you have a you're at least validating everything that's in that PR.
Makes sense. If you can run them in Travis, by the way, you could just add them to the Travis configuration as well. So in that case, but a lot of tests, especially for vendors, don't run in Travis, of course.
Yeah, that's one of the higher level things around the idea of the distributed model, mm-hmm. is that historically we've had a lot of vendors who have turned up, done some work, and then sort of gone away. And at what point do we stop taking those things into account during testing? But if you have a distributed model where people are running environments that whether it's a user running there, something that looks like a production environment, or a vendor running something that's based on their technology, you can always make sure from your own perspective that tests are going to run against an environment that looks like something that's representative of your technology. Because with something like CloudStack, you're never going to get one organization, you're going to get test coverage across all the deployments.
Yeah, a good example is SolidFire. I think Dimash is also a good example, but SolidFire is a good example because Mike has written a ton of tests that are kind of specific to SolidFire to make sure that the SolidFire behaves nicely. And I think it's either a contrib or there's a subdirectory in the tests where you can plug into something like that where he's actually contributed back all the tests that he's done. But the thing is that the majority of people don't necessarily have an environment to be able to run those tests. And so, to Giles' point, by having a distributed CI, we can always make sure, if we talk to Mike, we can always make sure that his CI runs against everything that has storage changes.
It does. He runs his tests again, everything, but his reporting back is the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no unified interface to be able to bring that information back.
I think Trilling is a very good project because it can unify all the CI that has been going on. Everyone does different. Like, I know Nuage does their CI differently, and like the right guys, they have their own CI. And we've been actually working to standardize Trilling so that everyone can use it.
Yes, yes.
And
we need to look at the PRs. Thank you. We will.
I have kudos to you guys. It's definitely solving a very, very important problem in CloudStack.
Yeah, it's a great basis.
Yes.
Yeah. It's where we is. It's a great starting point for us to be able to define.
So I never speak foul of any former employer, not even IBM. But what did make you guys decide to move from the bubble to Trilling? What did you have a meeting and say, well, this and this and this we don't give, and this and this and this we get, and
we had complicated environments where we had more complicated storage configurations and stuff where it was, we could make bubble work in that case, but we had to change a lot of how things were done to be able to do it. It's just not, it's very prescriptive about what it expects the environment to be, and it's a very defined subset of what the functionality of CloudStack is. So it doesn't give you a broad
spectrum
tool to be able to work across the different configurations. Mm-hmm. It has a very,
I know what Remy is going to answer on this, and he's wrong. But, I understand.
Remy and I have spent a lot of time together.
I know. I was at Remy's side at the time.
I pushed a ton of PRs to Bubble. Like between Remy and I, we basically worked out so that you could have a layered approach, and so their Cosmic tests and our CloudStack tests were not colliding.
Yeah.
We built an override method where you could basically define how Cosmic was going to do things and how CloudStack was going to do things. So changes to the way that they test didn't interfere with the way that we tested and stuff like that. So we did advance it quite a bit, but at the same time, I was just trying to be a release manager at the time, and I just didn't have the time.
You don't like CI, it just needs to work, right?
Yeah.
I don't like it, absolutely not.
I was already doing 10-hour days just trying to catch up on PRs and
trying to get
things going. I didn't have a chance to rewrite like
4.4.
Trillion, right?
Yeah. We're out of time, I think. No more questions. Thank you, guys.